Welcome to episode 49 of Skyjacks, Courier's Call. I'm your host and narrator, Drew Merzieski. I'm joined by Allison Grauer, Palomi Pratap, and Aaron Catano-Sayez to bring you a story of adventure, skyships, mail carriers, and kids just like you. Last time, Kieran, Cece, and June survived the most harrowing, all-Audrin snowball fight in the history of the Swiftwheel Courier Service, and the time has finally come to make your final preparations for Audrin Prom. Outfits must be put on, makeup and hair must be styled, dates will unite, and Audrin birds will fly the couriers up to the manor house for the celebration still to come. But Starwatcher Winchwind has some questions for Kieran about their recent disappearance. Heed the call, couriers. Stand to. Let's fly.
Gone are the days when it was easy to ride.
Singing way, hey, ho.
But the years haven't withered my joy and my pride.
Singing way, hey, ho.
I've never been much for the pistol or blade.
Singing way, hey, ho.
For the sun is my course and the sky is my trade.
Singing way, hey, ho.
My mother, she told me that life would be fine if you're free with the water but savor the wine, and to never be hurried but always on time.
Singing way, hey, ho. Singing way, hey, ho.
We open up on the chaos that is the Red Audrin, like, common cabin, and everyone getting ready for prom. There are, like, people are everywhere, like, getting changed, doing their hair, their makeup. Everyone is getting ready, accessorizing, talking. I would love to see a montage of you guys kind of getting ready so we can immediately jump to basically getting to prom. So give me a montage. Give me one thing for each of you. Like, what does getting ready for prom look like for you? Braith.
Braith struggled a little bit finding all of the pieces of their outfit. But at the end of the day, he's got it all on. He's kind of playing with the hem of the skirt a little bit to get it to drape properly. And he's working on rollering off some bird feathers from his jacket, because I think that some of Squall came with him into the changing room, unfortunately.
Anything with the makeup situation with Braith tonight?
A light foundation, nothing heavy. You know, he likes the natural look. Not lipstick, but like a nice shimmery lip balm. And of course, a really nice, like, sheen in his hair.
Nice.
Very well coiffed.
Any guyliner? Any shadow?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Eyeliner,
is anybody doing that for you?
I think he got help with the guyliner, but the mascara he was able to do himself.
Very nice. Yeah. Bobby Jean.
So first of all, like, the main thrust of Bobby Jean's preparation is getting the architecture of the whalebone. I guess it's not whalebone; it is Leviathan bone. Like, getting all that sorted, and there are plenty of, like, devices and storage units underneath, sort of attached to that. So Bobby will be able to, like, have, like, maximum available snacking and everything he needs, but still have the perimeter that he requires. Makeup wise, we're going sparkles. If Bobby's given access to something that sparkles, he's going to use it. Doesn't matter what its intended purpose is. Bobby will find a use for it.
Beautiful. The camera pans across the room, seeing the chaos of what's going on. There's a big pile of, like, wet coats and, like, hats and mitts and stuff kind of shoved in the corner.
I've got to imagine, like, Jaegermund is, like, taking those and hanging them up in front of the furnace.
Yeah, he's over by the fireplace, like, taking care of that. We go over. June, what's your Audrin preparation looking like?
So June has chosen clothing that is easy to put on, very low muss, low fuss. So getting dressed is not an issue. June does not truck with makeup in a general sense, but is permitting the input of her companions as to whether to use makeup or where to use makeup. But the thing that really is the hurdle for June for prom is the hair. She traditionally has her hair in this braid, in this long plait, from the crown of her head all the way down her back. And she has freed the beast. She's unloosed the braid for the first time in a while.
My God.
Yeah. And so there's this wild mess of this ginger hair that's long and, you know, it just very wavy. It's falling in wavy, wavy locks, and she doesn't really know what to do with it. But since it's a special occasion, she sort of is like, she has like a corner of a mirror that she's borrowing from while other people are using it and is staring at it, trying to find some sort of inspiration as to how to present the hair without just doing the braid again.
Yeah, this room feels very much like backstage, getting ready for a show. Like everyone's kind of, they brought out like big mirrors for people to look at and kind of look at themselves and take their time.
I think Braith sees June looking in the mirror and he looks at his own little area in front of him. He still has the bottle of the shimmer that he put in his hair, and it's like an oil spray that kind of helps slick down flyaways. And he says, "You look like you need a little help." And he just comes over and he just like grabs a lock of your hair and sprays this stuff into it and just like uses his hands and starts spinning it and tries to help make sense of the curls in your hair.
Mm-hmm.
How does June react to that though?
June like opens her mouth to respond, but like an expert, Braith swoops in to do this tactic, and June sort of freezes and frowns and then like relaxes a little bit and just sort of like watches Braith work in the mirror and tries to understand the physics of like how he's trying to make sense of the hair. And like, I think after a minute, June goes, you really know what you're doing with girl hair.
My little sister has curly hair and I've done this for her a few times. So I figured I'd just hop in. Is that okay?
No. Yeah. 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 I mean, yeah, yes. I appreciate that.
Cool.
And darling, you know what's okay? Your nail beds. They're fantastic. Bobby is not helping with your nails, but he is miming helping with your nails.
Good. Oh, thank you, Bobby Jean. yeah, no, I appreciate that. I didn't put any thought into what I was going to do until this moment. And I guess I didn't realize how long my hair has gotten.
That's because you're too busy trying to have it all.
You just got to spritz the oil in, run it through, and then scrunch. See, you bunch it up like this, and it like helps you scrunch some of your hair to learn how to.
Oh, scrunch.
Kieran, what does your prom preparations look like?
I think Kieran gets into the clothing well enough. There's just a scene where they're putting layer upon layer upon layer of this like froth bright skirt. It's got like a billion petticoats to make it just go poof, but it's still kind of like workable and movable and flexible. They need a little bit of help kind of buttoning up the back. So I think they find the nearest person and are just like, kind of like pointing to their back. The hair is also a challenge for them because it's kind of like around their face for the most part. And so kind of taming it into some kind of braid is something that they're like looking in a mirror and like sticking their tongue out and like trying to like reach their arms all the way around their head as they're doing braid. That kind of go like sits at the base of their neck. And then I think shoes wise, they just kind of go shoeless. And they're not doing a lot of makeup either. I think they do like, they do the like cheek pinching thing in lieu of blush. And then they're like, yeah, that's it.
Double finger guns.
That's the look. they're feeling themselves. They're like, okay.
I think Farrah comes over and helps you with the things that you said you needed help with.
Yeah. Like buttoning Kieran. Up the back of their, I think they're also wearing epaulets, so like there's a chain that connects them in the front, but then there's a responding chain in the back, and they get the front and then they see kind of the chain dangling in the back, and as Farrah's like buttoning things up, they're like, with the back part of this too.
And Farrah's like, yeah, sure, of course. And Farrah comes over. You see, so for the first time, I usually see Farrah like in her coat and like in her jumpsuit and stuff like that. She's got her like shoulders and arms bare. She's got guns. She has super strong arms.
I think and Kieran says as much. They're like, oh, you have really strong arms.
You think so? And kind of flexes. They're huge. I spend a lot of time like, you know, shoveling bird poop and stuff. So
Nice.
And like also like wrangling birds and stuff like that. It's not just it's not just the poop. She like kind of blushes and you see it like go into her ears. It's not just the poop. It's that. The dress that she's wearing is like it's like a sleeveless. It's a very sleek dress that she's wearing. But she comes over and helps you get into your dress, Kieran, and put everything kind of in the right place. Cece, what does your preparations look like?
Cece is such a 14-year-old tryhard that she goes into the bathroom and basically moon prism power makeup and like really wants people to think that she did this magical transformation and got ready super early. So I want you to imagine like a phone booth sized bathroom in this cabin with all of her clothes and outfit in there. And she's like, oh my God, I have to change in this little tiny room. So she's putting on her shoes and it's all tight and so getting her hat on and because she wants to make this big whip open the door entrance moment. Of like, hello, y'all, but it's way earlier than everybody else. Like, no one's finished yet, and she's like, I really want to be done. So Cece is in there, like, you know, wriggling into her clothes. She's putting her jacket on. She's pinning this giant hat to her gigantic hair that has been, like, unleashed. And she's pinning the hat on because she wants it to look like the hat is just resting on top of her hair. But it's taking like 4,000 bobby pins, bobby jean pins, as they're called in Sphere. James nods emphatically. And she's like doing all this stuff and she's starting to get stressed out because she's thinking so much about what everybody's going to think when they see this outfit, when they see this look. And she has, how does makeup work in Sphere? What, like, we buying Maybelline or are we getting stuff out of, like, you know, getting, like, ashes out of the fire pit and doing, like, eyeshadow?
So I probably think that it is got to be someone's hobby within, you know, like a given Audrin or whatever. Because, like, yeah, you go, you collect dry flowers or whatnot, grind things down into powders. And, like, I have to imagine for Audrin Prom, there is, like, a period where people are just, like, you know, gathering ingredients and you know, making this stuff to bring.
Yes.
And they're probably, like, if it's popular on one Audrin, they probably, like, do a thing, like, deliver things around to other Audrins in exchange for, like, who knows?
I think Winchwind is the one on the Red Audrin that is like a makeup aficionado.
Ooh, yeah.
That's great.
I love it. But Cece has been prepping for a like since they landed for this moment. So like over the week, she's been gathering certain like varietals of pine needles and pressing them so she can have like this cool pine perfume. She's been drying purple flowers and crushing them and like learning about how to make a purple lip color and an eyeshadow. But she's in a tiny room and people are banging on the door like, I need to pee! She's like, leave me alone, I'm getting ready! And it's, she really wants this big moment.
There's a line out the door.
Yeah,
like
exactly. And so she's putting on this big, she has a face on. She has like high school musical theater mug on where it's a mess, but she's like, God, I look incredible. Like purple eye, purple lip, you know, purple cheeks. And she whips open the door, crushing someone behind it who's been waiting patiently for the bathroom.
It's
Fenton Eves. And I say, hello, world, I have arrived.
I think June immediately starts applauding.
Thank you, June.
To which
thank
I think June. The rest of the Audrin doesn't know. They start applauding.
Yeah. June starts as a slow clap. Kieran comes in, and then everyone just turns into a raucous round of applause.
And she slams her boot on like a box and says, now, who may I help? Paint their face, do their hair, or get into their best get-up.
And, like, I think everyone raises their hands.
Okay, so Cece begins the rounds of sprucing it up, of like, helping, you know.
Zhuzhing.
She's become stage mom. She's zhuzhing.
Yeah, she's zhuzhing everybody's details.
Stage mom has arrived.
Like, before we go out on the runway, we all have to go past Cece to get zhuzhed.
Yep. And she's teaching dance. If you need a dance move, Cece's got you. I have signature moves. You know, I'm literally just, yeah, I'm walking around doing my thing, helping everybody out because I didn't want anybody to see me absolutely struggle getting ready.
Mayor Kidtown, everyone.
We see all of this go down. We see the montage of everyone getting ready for prom. Everyone doing hair and makeup. We see people talking to each other and helping each other. We see Jaegermund and Winchwind also helping around. We see Winchwind going around and making sure like everyone's makeup is nice and like doing touch-ups. And I think Winchwind helps you, Cece, with what was going on there. Not a whole lot. they start to like do stuff and then go, if this is what you want, I don't have to work on any more of it. Do you like the way you look?
Cece like pulls them aside and is like, can you actually, I really don't know what I'm doing. But I don't want anybody to see you fixing whatever I just put on my face.
Okay.
I like that this is happening too close.
Yeah.
It's very.
Cece is like dragged.
It's very close. You can actually see like the bit of stubble that's on Winchwin's chin. And there's a, okay, we'll take care of this. Don't worry. Okay. Yeah, just stand in the corner here. Okay. They turn and go, Yeagerman, stand here. And Yeagerman's like, I will stand right here. And very big and wide. As Winchwin goes behind and like helps fix a bit of your makeup there, Cece. And at that point, the captain comes to the top of the stairs. We see the Barbossa boot type thing, like the walk across as he kind of comes down the stairs with big, heavy footfalls. He's wearing this like red like coat that's got a lot of like, it's got epaulets and a lot of like embroidery and things going on with it. He's wearing like a long skirt that's got like a woven mat in the middle that's held in place by like a cloth, like a patterned cloth. He has his boots on and he's there. He pulls out a watch and goes, looks like we're late, everyone. Everyone outside, get in the carts and they'll take you up to the, where are we going? The bird yard. Go. I'm flustered. What are we doing here?
Thank you, late.
Go. And we see everyone like begin to move outside. And as you guys open the doors and head on outside, you see that there's a bunch of pull carts. There's a bunch of people from the town that are like in these carts that like two or three people can sit on, and they will like pull you up to the bird yard where they're then going to put you on birds so you can go and like land. And people are jumping in and like getting ready. We see Bran and Fenton getting one, like Ruby's going to like, hey, Ruby, do you mind if it's just Fenton? It means that. And Ruby's like, yeah, sure. That's fine. I'll go sit with someone else. And like she goes off to go sit. And we see everyone kind of getting in there. We see you, June and Cece, get into a cart. Kieran, you're going to jump in. And Winchwin puts out their hand and stops you, Kieran. And goes, Kieran, why don't you ride with me?
Okay, yeah.
Don't worry, you two. They'll see you at the top.
Oh, okay.
No problem.
Yeah, we'll see you at the bird yard, Kieran.
Yeah, okay.
See you at the bird yard. It sounds like a wrestling match. I'm sorry. That's what made me laugh.
At the
see
bird yard.
I don't know anything about wrestling.
Bird yard.
In the bird yard. 2022, Kieran. I'll see you up top.
You and me in the bird yard.
And there's a briefcase full of money.
I love it.
Ruffle your feathers at the bird yard this Saturday.
Hey, I know we all talked about maybe changing our voice to all be the same voice. Let's do this instead.
Oh, yeah, found brother. It. So Cece starts dancing. And then
even my voice is that? It's not even the character voices.
So Drew, tell me how to roll with Luminary.
It's the out-of-character voice that changes. Yes.
That's good.
Hello, couriers, and welcome to The Mineral. I'm Drew, your host and narrator. We wanted to take a brief pause to say thank you for all of you being here and being a part of our story. We couldn't do it without you. And now, since we have no other particular announcements this week, let's get back in the sky.
Singing way, hey, ho.
We see you, June and Cece, get into your little cart and be pulled away and kind of wave to Kieran. Kieran, you and Winchwin get into the next cart and sit down and ride for maybe a minute or so. It's not too far. It's maybe like a 6 or 7 minute ride up to the bird yard. And Winchwin looks over at you, Kieran, and says, so I had Bran come to me saying that June and Cece couldn't find you last night. And I made sure that it was just them and me and Bran. We didn't tell the captain or Yeagerman or anyone else that you were gone missing. We just wanted to make sure that you were okay. We looked everywhere and we couldn't find you, but you were back at the room when we returned. Was everything okay?
I think Kieran thinks for a second. I think I was just a little tired.
All right. Everything's all right? You're just tired?
I was just a little tired.
Okay. And we see Winchwin is wearing like a suit coat and these wide big pantaloons with these tall heeled boots. Their hair is done in intricate like braids and kind of pulled back into like a big braided bun, and their makeup is obviously impeccable. And we see them reach into their suit coat and pull out their lumen deck and pull a card. The Rasulka. Is that temptation, desire, longing? I think Winchwind pulls this card and looks at it. For Winchwind, their card is a river, obviously, but it's not a river at day. It's a river at night. And there is above the river a star that reflects in the water of the river. And Winchwind themselves is on the bank looking at the star on the water. Have the stars been talking to you?
Not like speak, but like they gesture vaguely at their head.
But a star talked to you. James, I'm curious, what is Winchwind feeling about this?
I mean, there are a lot of different directions that this could go. It kind of depends. I kind of feel like you need to draw a luminary to see what Winchwind's experience with that sort of thing is.
The soldiers.
The soldiers. Death, deception, and memory.
Oh, man.
I kind of think that it is... So the star in particular, we know that the stars through star watching correspond to sphere mm-hmm. and events on sphere and kind of the world and how it works and whatnot. And the morning star in particular is a guiding star. There is a prevailing superstition amongst skyjacks that if you tattoo the morning star on your body, you will always be able to find your way home. It would, in most folklore, probably not be bad or misfortunate at all mm-hmm. to have interactions with stars. They are forces that dictate the world. They are forces that guide the world, and that's just fine.
So Winchwind looks at you, Kieran, and says, any particular star whispering to you, Kieran?
I think Kieran, again, is very slow to answer the question. They kind of look up, and I feel like there are branches and leaves kind of in the way, obscuring a lot of the stars.
It was the morning star.
Winchwind nods. The morning star is a star of direction. It's constant. If the morning star is speaking to you, it might be seeking to put you on the right heading or guide you home.
But I don't want to go home. I want to find someone.
Well, home is a lot of different places, Kieran. It's not just a place. It's people. It's feelings. It's emotion. Home is a lot of different things. As everything, Kieran, this world is dangerous. There's a lot going on. Things that are much bigger than us. And I don't think we as people in this world are able to pick and choose when we interact with it. But all we can do is just be careful. That's all.
I think, Kieran, in all of the chaos of getting ready after the snowball fight, they sort of forgot that they snuck the apple that they retrieved from the tree into a pocket in the depths of their skirt. Their hand kind of comes to rest near it, and they realize it, and they bring it out and kind of look down at it in their lap, and they don't look at Winchwind. They're like, do you know what this is?
It's an apple?
Is it? There's a tree in the house.
You found a tree in the house?
And this came from that.
Okay. Winchwind's going to do what Winchwind does and pulls one more card about the apple. It's the Forest Queen. Winchwind pulls the card, looking at the Forest Queen and looking at the apple. This can mean a lot of things as they show the card to Kieran.
I think their face sort of sets to sort of that aggressive troll.
This card, like I said, means a lot of things. And it's about the apple. It can be so many things. I don't think it's from the Forest Queen, if you say you're talking to stars, but that is from a tree, which is nature. Just be careful with it. Maybe don't eat it.
Unless you have already, in which case it's fine. You're probably not poisoned, but please tell me.
maybe don't eat it. No. And if you do, maybe do it with an adult. matter of fact, me, why not? If you want to take a bite of this apple, I'd like to be there if you do.
To fight the apple. I'm an adult. In case.
In case.
In case it's a boss fight and you need to fight the apple.
I just want to be there.
Luminaries are complicated. It's you might weird. Need to fight the apple, I guess.
There's so many things that could happen here. Is that all right? I don't want to intrude or pry in your adventure.
To be honest, I was thinking about biting into it.
It looks I kind of got that.
Like, they hold it up, and it's like a really nice, like, shiny red apple, right?
It's a perfect apple.
Dang.
It just like, there's not a blemish on it. It is the most perfect example, the most ordered apple
there's
you've
like
ever seen.
There's like a little blush of gold in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like it would be really crunchy and tasty. So, you know, but that was like a first instinct sort of thing. Maybe that's not a good idea.
It's up to you. I will never infringe on your choice here. I can only offer guidance, not demands.
They're holding it in their hands, and like as this transportation is taking them to where the birds are, and it stops, and they're like piling out. They're still kind of looking at this thing while like keeping an eye on Winchwind, and they meet up with June and Cece, and they look up at them, and they're like, very seriously, "I'm gonna take a bite out of this apple."
You know, there's gonna be food.
There's a buffet. There's a buffet at Brahms.
Yeah, like. Why?
Wait. Is this what you brought back from the creepy tree?
Yeah. This is the creepy tree. Okay. Apple. Look at it.
Valuable information was missing from that conversation.
Like, gotta say, that's a 10 out of 10 apple. But we've been dealing with like supernatural stuff. That if we've learned anything from the last adventure, it's that maybe we should like hit pause sometimes, then look up a strategy guide instead of just jumping in.
Yeah.
Because we goof a lot.
I was talking to Winchwind about it, and it like it's a big deal now. And I'm like, what's gonna happen if I head into the apple? And I kind of want to find out. It's gonna bother me.
This is such a famous piece of imagery, but I can't remember where it's from. It doesn't matter.
Is Winchwind with us?
No, Winchwind has moved.
Winchwind has moved on. Okay.
Jumped onto a
Kieran,
different bird.
You know, that's fine. We're here for you. If you think this is, well, I was going to say, if you think this is a good idea, but like, it doesn't matter if it's a good idea or not. I know you.
Like, before you do it, like, give me your intuition. Should I raise my power level now or should I wait? Like, are we going to fight a boss?
What if we just ready our action? Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
One of you needs to ready
out her
an
great
action
sword.
For calling an adult, though.
Okay, I'm on it.
Okay.
To like summon.
Cece's great sword is out because Cece is a great sword now. Surprise.
Okay, all right. Okay, Kieran, we are here for you. Go ahead.
Just
in
chomp,
your own time.
Chomp.
Hum.
Okay.
Big old bite out of the apple.
Okay, Kieran, you bite into this apple. It is sweet and delicious. The
they're
crunch
providing
on
tasting
it
notes as they're chewing.
It's literally perfect. It's got a, like a delicious. It's not like a super strong apple flavor. It's a very mellow flavor.
Sure
it feels like biting light in a way.
Whoa.
You chew, you swallow, and nothing happens.
What? That's what Cece says too. What?
Are you okay?
I feel fine.
Do you feel different?
Not really.
Okay.
I mean, it's a really tasty apple. I might finish.
Do you want to split it?
Yeah, should we all have a bite?
Yeah.
What like if we all got in on this apple game?
Yeah,
the
sure.
Faces
like everyone,
Drew and James just made.
Everyone can take a bite. Go ahead. Because
like
fine.
That apple looks so good, and like I'm trying to get in on this game.
It's really good. Here, take like
apple FOMO.
Make sure you get a little bit of skin because it like snaps really good.
Ah. Cece grabs it and looks at it and goes, "Oh my god, this is like really amazing apple." She chews it. She swallows it and then goes. Something's happening.
No.
I'm just kidding.
Okay. Cece, don't do that. That's not fair.
I know. I'm sorry.
It could have been happening is the thing. So
June takes the apple, kind of looks at it, sniffs it, turns it upside down. It just looks like a really nice apple.
You got to take a little bit, like get a little bit of skin, but then most of the fruit inside, it's like.
Okay.
It's pretty bomb apple.
Yeah.
Okay. June carefully tries to take a good, as recommended by Dr. Kieran, bite of this apple and chomps it.
Okay.
Do we feel different?
No. Like, no.
Yeah,
like, after you guys finish chewing and you like you swallow it, you don't feel any different at
die?
This point.
A friend will watch you eat a haunted apple.
Yeah.
A good
yeah.
friend will tell you not to eat a haunted apple. A best friend will eat a haunted apple with you.
Yeah.
Yeah
exactly.
You can't. Cece says,
I
don't know if
this,
you know
though.
This, Kieran. I'm sorry, Drew.
No, it's okay.
No, say it.
No, say it. Go for it.
I don't know if you know this, Kieran. But when I say that you're my ride or die, I mean it. I will eat this apple and we will We will go to the river and back, baby.
Yeah, for sure.
We're doing this together.
Yeah,
and
together.
Ingris just had the most delicious apple that existed in the world. It's been a privilege.
Like in the history of everything, probably.
Yeah.
It's been an honor and a privilege to eat this apple with my friends.
Yeah.
Who's the last one to have a bite?
Me.
June, the apple turns to dust in your hands.
Oh, no! Dang it, I knew it! Oh, something bad! Oh, no! Toodums.
It's all, like, ashy now.
Oh, it was good while it lasted.
June sticks her hands in the snow and, like, gets the rest of the ash off.
Kieran's gonna, like, grab her dusty hand and just, like, sniff it. It doesn't smell any different.
No, it's just ash now. And as you all are standing there, June, you feel a hand reach out and touch you on your shoulder.
June jumps out of her skin.
And she's a skeleton dancing around now, plays her ribs like a xylophone.
Yep.
Plays her ribs like a xylophone.
And Relia goes, whoa. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. We, you know, we just had that really big, intense snowball fight earlier, so I'm a little jumpy.
Yeah. A little jumpy.
From the snowball fight.
Are you okay?
Fight. Yes.
Yeah.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. And you turn around and see Relia. Relia is dressed in her prom best. She's got like a waistcoat on and like a cravat. But she's wearing like riding skirts.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like split pants underneath, but also skirts and like nice shoes. You do notice that she has given herself an undercut, like your undercut. Do you like it?
It looks really good on you.
Thank you. I like yours so much. I thought I'd try it.
Yeah. No, it's good to try new things, right?
Can I give you a prom gift?
Yes.
Like this isn't like a you're not supposed to have done this or anything. Like,
okay. Because I was panicking.
Okay. Okay. And she like reaches. She like takes your hand. She reaches into like a pocket of her skirt and she pulls out a flower pin.
Oh.
It's like a glass flower pin. That she reaches back and she takes it and tucks it behind your ear and puts it into your hair.
That's really nice of you. Thank you, Relia.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I don't get gifts very often, so I kind of...
You don't?
No.
Why?
What do you mean, why?
Who's not giving you gifts? Do you have names?
No.
I will make sure they give you gifts.
No, I mean, Cece and Kieran give me the gift of their friendship every day.
Yeah, my friendship is a gift, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I agree with that, Cece. Your friendship is a gift.
You know what? You're all right. You may take my friend to prom.
Thank you.
Anyway, should we get a bird?
Yeah, let's get a bird.
Okay. June makes meaningful eye contact with Cece and then with Kieran and then Cece again. And then kind of gives a stiff nod and heads off with Relia to get a bird.
Cece's wink blows everyone's hair back. It's so strong.
Wow, that was really subtle, Cece. That was really good.
So the way that this looks like, the bird yard has been turned into like a staging ground where they have all the birds kind of come out. They're wearing like swift whale looking livery. Like they're wearing like harness and tack that's like colored like the Swiftwell Curry, like the different Audrins. And the birds have all been spruced up. They've all been like their nails are filed, their beaks are polished, their feathers are
Let's
nice.
Hit that horse girl alarm sting just in case.
Just in case with the fur. There it is. And they all seem to have like baskets on them that are going to carry you guys off to prom.
Cute.
And I'm curious what birds everyone gets that as we fly off to prom.
June is beelining for the Sacred Falcon.
You have to like, there's a couple that's about to get into it and you push them out of the way.
Excuse me. Sorry.
Hey.
Quality control.
And it really is like, yeah, back off.
Push like.
Back off. This is our bird.
Ushers Raylia into the basket.
Thank you. And she gets in.
Is Raylia eating something?
Yeah.
What is it?
As she sits down, she reaches into these pockets that she has in these skirts. She pulls out like a celery stick and bites a celery stick.
Hmm.
Don't want to have anything like garlicky or spicy.
No, for sure. What? Why?
I bargain with madmen who claim to be kings. Sing it, way, hey, ho. And I've seen the destruction their tempers can bring. Sing it, way, hey, ho. I've ridden the winds over mountain and plain. Sing it, way, hey, ho. Just to circle the coast and curse the mariner's name. Sing it, way, hey, ho. My father, he told me to never deceive. Be a voice to the hopeless and help those in need. And to never be thankful for what you receive. Sing it way, hey, ho. Sing it way, hey, ho.
At the bottom of the Red Audrin, there is the mailroom, where all of the mail and packages that the couriers receive and carry are placed during flight. Off to the side of the mailroom, there is a smaller room, but at the moment you can't see the entrance because there's a lot of potted plants in the way. But if you move aside the potted plants and you feel along the wall until you hear it turn hollow under your knocking, there is actually a paper sign that says office, and a mysterious secondary paper sign that may at one time may have represented, in a hieroglyphic sense, a water cooler. And inside this room are our intrepid heroes, Cece, Kieran, and June, sorting the mail, more or less.
21! 22!
Come on, Cece.
23!
You got
on,
this!
24!
You can
25.
Do it.
Oh, I did it. Let's I counted go. All the way to 25. Oh.
I'm so proud of
that's
you.
Awesome.
Man, it's so good to get a good pump in. Sometimes it just counts.
That's exhausting. Yeah.
You know, math mm-hmm. is important sometimes. You got to train your mind.
You listen, if you don't keep counting, 24. You're going to lose track and then it's over. You
yeah,
know,
it's
you
got
to start over again.
You know?
It's like terrible.
Everybody, take a break. Get some water.
Okay. All right.
All right. When we get back to it, we're finally going to get a good pump in. We're going to get to 30.
Are we going
to
start at 25?
Karen, you must
are we
be near
starting at negative 25?
Here at the Swole Factory, we only start at good old number one.
But there are numbers that come before one.
Are there numbers that come before one? What?
What are you talking about? What are you? Wait. What are you talking about?
Zero comes before one.
Zero is not a number.
What is zero?
Zero is to a number.
Who zero is a digit. It's not a number.
It is representative of a number, and the number is nothing.
My head is
that's
spinning.
Not that's the absence of a number.
Oh boy,
it's I'm still a number. Nauseous.
No, it's not. It's the absence of a number.
You're categorizing it as a number, and therefore it's a number.
No. That can't be true. That can't.
Oh no.
Think about it. Because then before zero, there's negative one.
No,
there's a
negative numbers aren't numbers. They're just
there
opposites.
There are negative numbers.
How can numbers?
They're like
omega
numbers.
How can it be negative if it's just a number? It should be happy that it exists.
Cece's voice shakes the office, and through the rafters, a letter comes sliding down.
We all go dead silent, and we watch it drift to the floor.
The numbers are angry with us. They speak to me.
We should be quiet about the numbers.
Yeah.
They wish for me to read
I'm
this
sorry.
Letter. Cece nervously takes out her letter opener. Her finger. Chink! Rips it open. And then crumple, crumple, crumple.
Dear apprentices, I am sorry to inform you that despite your bravery in Otterbox, we are unable to offer you a spot in this year's class at Dr. Wise Institute for Abnormal Tots. What? This is due both to the fact that you did apply, apologies for the unsolicited mail, but we like to be proactive here, and due to your lack of clearly evident supernatural powers, abilities which we call superpowers here at the Institute. These might include things like flight, telepathy, the ability to read all languages, and the like. That being said, if you were to each have a superpower, what would you choose? Better luck next year, Doctor. Why? We superpowers.
We totally have superpowers.
What?
Kieran is super smart and sneaky.
Yes.
Also, like
Cece is super brave and fashionable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
you,
I'm
you have super strength and like super confidence.
Yeah. I'm
like
super steady.
Yeah, you have like super planning abilities. Like you're logistics.
You've got like rock abilities.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and Cece's got like air abilities, and like I've got like water abilities, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, absolutely.
But like not bad water abilities, you know.
So like, obviously, like I don't like getting rejected, so I'm gonna argue it and say like, one, Doctor, why you are wrong. You are
wrong. Yeah, should we write back?
Yeah, like we should write an angry letter back that's like, I regret to inform you that you missed out on the three most powerful superpowered tots that you could have ever had in your school.
Also, we're not tots.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess
adult.
That's a, yeah.
We're
teenagers. Like, we're...
Kieran, if you could have a crazy, wild other superpower, like more than one, because you clearly have one, what is it?
I mean, having water powers would be super cool.
It totally would.
Tell me more.
Like, how cool would it be if I'm like standing, right? And I'm like standing next to like a pot of water or something.
Okay. I'm seeing it.
Karen. I do this, and Karen like raises their right arm.
CeCe falls backward.
And then the water goes up. And then I do this.
No.
And I like almost like slap CeCe on accident.
CeCe didn't even move. She would have accepted that slap.
Okay, but like
I think it's
because
June grabs the back of CeCe's coat and like pulls her out of the
But and then the water goes from right to left. Like that would be super cool. Oh
that would be so cool. And then Kieran.
Yeah.
And then you could fight the Mariner.
Oh,
I could.
Literally.
I could. I would be like, oh, you want to do this? Psh, you're not doing it anymore because I made it go the other way.
Like water punch him in the mouth.
That would be super. I could have big water fists. That would be so cool. Have you ever hit the water wrong? It hurts.
It does hurt. And like the Marinan's just like a skeleton or something. All you got to do is like uppercut him with a big water fist.
He's like
and
a
then
very,
like,
very wet skeleton.
And then he like fall apart.
He would be like, and his skull would just go flying. And then you would catch it in the water.
Furiously writing notes in their journal.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Sketching everything.
What powers would you have?
Well, I'm already kind of strong.
Yeah, I'll say.
And I can already talk to birds.
Just no big deal, right? You're so cool.
Thank you. I think. Oh, I got it.
Yeah,
if I could have another superpower, I would like to heal.
Oh.
I would like to heal things and people and animals.
She hurts, but she also protects.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about you, CeCe? What kind of other power could you possibly have amidst all of your wealth and dearth of skills?
I would like... Oh, I want to shoot energy blasts. Like, I want to be able to open my hand and all of a sudden, like, a beam goes out and, like... You know, like I shoot blasts, like laser powers, but out of my hands, out of my eyes, and stuff like that. That'd be so cool, right?
Yeah, that would be really cool.
Like anytime anything comes against you, you're just like, and you shoot your beam, and I could say cool things as I did it. And that's the real reason is I want to be able to like charge up and shoot something and say something cool, you know, like Omega Penguin Beam. And then I shoot this big beam and everybody goes, no. And then they like, they disintegrate in my blast. I would take down red feather ships like that. Like,
oh, that could be cool.
Right?
Yeah.
And the Mariner?
Then you guys can both fight the Mariner and I can be there and heal you when you get hurt.
We make a full party. Oh my God.
Yeah.
We have,
that's good.
We have DPS and Kieran, you're clearly like the water tank. Mm-hmm, and then we got the heals. Oh my goodness, we're ready to raid. We are raid ready, y'all. Are we high enough? Hold on one second. I'm checking to see if our levels are high enough. We are level appropriate to actually face the Mariner, y'all. Oh my goodness. We can enter the dungeon. We can do the instance.
We should go tell the captain right now.
We should.
Immediately.
Turn it around. We're ready to fight the Mariner. You can check our gear. It's all epic and legendary. We are ready.
You know what though?
What?
I do think Jaegerman said that if we came to the kitchen at this point, he would give us a sneak peek of dessert.
So maybe
we should set aside the Mariner stuff for later.
Okay. I guess this raid party will have to wait. Going AFK. Gonna go get some snacks.
Thank you for listening to Skyjacks, Courier's Call. Cecilia Witwick was played by Aaron Catano Saez. Who can be found on Twitter at Aaron Catano Saez or on the podcast All My Fantasy Children. You can further support Aaron's work in voiceover and worldbuilding at patreon.com/AaronCatanoSaez. June Hymnal was played by Allison Grauer, who can be found on Twitter at DreamsToBecome. You can further support Allie's creative work at patreon.com/whimsyartifice. This episode was also edited by Allison Grauer. Kiran Rao was played by Palomi Pertep, who can be found on Twitter at PalomiSP. You can hire Palomi for layout and graphic design by visiting her website at palomipertep.com. And I'm Drew Merzieski. You can find me on Twitter at WorldsToForge and can further support my storytelling and creative work at patreon.com/whimsyartifice. The original score for this program was composed and performed by Arnie Parrott, who can be found on Twitter at ArnieParrott. Official artwork was created by Jess Kraczynski, who can be found on Twitter at AngryArtist113. Courier's Call is a spinoff of Campaign Skyjacks on the One Shot Podcast Network. The setting of Sphere was inspired by the music of the Decemberists and the game Illimat by Keith Baker, published by Together Studios. This podcast uses a modified version of the Cortex Prime system, designed by Cam Banks and published by Fandom Tabletop. Skyjack's Courier's Call is a part of the One Shot Podcast Network. Other One Shot podcasts include
Character Creation Cast. Character Creation Cast is a discussion podcast with Amelia Antrim and Ryan Bolter, where they create characters in multiple RPGs with prominent guests from the gaming community. Each month, Character Creation Cast examines the character generation process in depth for a different game with new guests each series. They always take the time to reflect on the game, its design, and what their guests have to say about it. Think of it as sitting in on a great session zero every week. And remember, while our show is rated E for everyone, this show was created by adults for adults, so listen at your own discretion.
That's all for this week. Until next time, heed the call, couriers. Right wrongs, do mercies, and take flight.
I'll tell you, my children, there's much I don't know, but the wind, she will take you where'er you must go, and it's better to age than never to grow. Singing way, hey, ho. Singing way, hey, ho.